Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to see you today, and happy Easter to all of you. Before we get into the study, I just wanted to mention, in case you didn't know, that on Wednesday nights we are doing a series called Need to Know, where we're going through all the basics of Christianity, and just to remind us and to refresh in our memories what the Bible teaches about how to actually live the Christian life. And this Wednesday, we're going to be talking about basic spiritual practices, things like why we need to read our Bibles and how to read the Bible and memorization and prayer and things like that. So if that's something that sounds interesting to you, come on out on Wednesday night at 7. But right now, we celebrate Easter. You know, the last week of the life of Jesus was a roller coaster like nothing you've ever seen before. Sometimes I've had some weeks, but it starts out at the beginning of the week with Jesus riding a donkey and having everyone cheering and waving palm branches and declaring him to be the Messiah. Then he and his disciples went off and had a private, intimate time. He served them communion. He washed their feet. He gave them teachings. And next thing you know, one of his disciples has betrayed him, sold him out to the Roman soldiers. They came and took him, began to question him, to beat, mock, and make fun of him, humiliate him. His one disciple had betrayed him. Another one, Peter, denied even knowing him. And worse came to worse, and Jesus ends up being nailed to a cross and crucified all in a period of, 5 days. It's really rough then during the time that he was dead. But then on Easter Sunday, the greatest end to a weird week where he comes back from the dead. He had come out of the tomb and he was alive again and he's with his disciples again. And so you look at the week and you just go, wow, the highest of highs, the lowest of lows. It's crazy the kinds of emotions that must have gone on with the disciples. And a lot of times we look at it and say, life is a roller coaster, but I can hang in there because as Tony Campolo years ago preached a message on Good Friday where his hook for the whole thing was, it's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. And so we hang in there and it's like, okay, it's bad, but we look forward to Easter when we can go, yes, Jesus is alive and this has actually happened. And so I love Easter because of that. It's such a nice contrast to Friday. However, I have to admit, the problem that I have in having a simple perspective like that is that there are a lot of people that I know, and sometimes for all of us, the truth is, life on a day-to-day basis looks more like Good Friday than Easter Sunday. I talk to people, and they're constantly going through trials. They're, people who are, just completely depressed and wondering why they should go on. People who get addicted to substances and it's just destroying their life. People who are betrayed by friends. People whose marriages are ripped apart or their friendships are broken. They lose their job where they've, just devoted themselves to it so, intimately. And over again, physical illness that takes over somebody's body. And you're just like, I don't even know if I can survive. The truth is, life for most of us looks a lot more like that dark Friday than it does like that glorious Sunday. You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of the way it is. Now, the Apostle Paul could relate. In fact, all the apostles could relate. We celebrate Easter, but the truth is, for his disciples, life got a lot worse after Easter, because of Easter. When they're living with Jesus, oh, that was awesome, that was great, there's no pressure on them. Then Jesus comes back from the dead, gives them a command, ascends into heaven, and then it's like, it's up to us, guys. And now, because they're telling people about Easter, Everyone wants them dead. They are breaking the law. They are doing things that makes them a target. Just to give you an example of this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about his life. Does this sound like somebody who's like, woohoo? He says, I'm more in labors than other people, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Oh, man. He had a rough life. Does this sound like somebody who is going, woohoo, man, ever since Jesus rose from the dead, life is just great? He's going, no, I'm being killed all the time. I am in the process of dying. My day doesn't look like a what you might consider the victorious Christian life at all. Now, you might be thinking, first of all, A, what does this have to do with Easter? And B, you're wrecking my chocolate rabbit experience today. It was like you're being Debbie Downer on Easter. Isn't this the one day when we're supposed to be optimistic? But don't worry, we'll get to Easter and what it has to do with it. But if you have a Bible, turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. And we will look at a passage of Scripture that ultimately Paul brings it all to the resurrection. But in the meantime, he's describing life like what your day would be like on your worst day. Sorry. He says in verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. The word there for hard pressed means crowded. It's like going to Disneyland on a holiday. You're just like getting claustrophobic. He goes, life is just feeling really crowded. But as crowded as I am, okay, I'm still not crushed yet. You know, how would that sound if you say, well, how's your day going? I'm not completely crushed yet. He goes on and says, we are perplexed. That word for perplexed means we don't know, we don't have any way of escape. But not in despair. And that's the same word as is translated as perplexed or to have no escape. But then it has an X on the beginning of it, which basically means, you know, I have no way of escape, but I'm not totally sure that there's never going to be any way of escape. Great. I'm persecuted in verse 9. That means I'm chased. It feels like they're after me. But not forsaken. I haven't been completely abandoned. I'm struck down. Literally, I'm body slammed. But I'm not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Paul, when you read this, it seems like he is just on the verge of losing it. It feels like he's hanging on by his fingernails. He's just like, oh, it's rough, it's hard, I'm desperate, but I'm still trying to hold on. I'm still trying to hang in. This is an endurance experience that he is describing. It's maybe in your life you felt that way. It's like, I don't know how much more I can take. I'm doing the best I can, but nothing goes the way I want it to go. I don't see any easy answers. My life just doesn't feel like, wow, things are totally on track. I'm trying. I'm hanging in there. Bob Dylan had a song called "It's Not Dark Yet, But It's Getting There." And some of the lyrics that he puts in there, and this may describe the way you felt, there's not even room enough to be anywhere. I just don't see why I should even care. Sometimes my burden is more than I can bear. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. The last verse says, I was born here and I'll die here against my will. I know it looks like I'm moving, but I'm standing still. Every nerve in my body is so naked and numb. I can't even remember what it was I came here to get away from. I don't even hear the murmur of a prayer. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. Isn't that, on the one hand, really depressing? On the other hand, like, that's exactly how I feel sometimes. That's exactly what my experience is. You know, that, and it shouldn't surprise us. Jesus, when he first recruited his disciples, he was telling them, okay, you want to follow me? Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. But here Paul explains how he hangs in there, and it's really important. And so look down to verse 14. He says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 18, we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, they're eternal. You know, Paul's perspective is, the only thing that allows me to hang in there is Easter. The only thing that allows me to endure what this life has to dish out. And believe me, before he met Jesus, Paul's life was easy. I mean, his job was just being a religious guy that, you know, you get a little frustrated, you get to go kill some people who disagree with you. And he was on top of the world, prestigious and everything else. He comes to Jesus, and he actually sees the risen Lord speaking to him. And after that, all hell breaks loose in his life. And after that, people hated him just for what he had experienced. And so he goes, look, I'm not giving you some pie-in-the-sky stuff. I'm not pretending that everything is wonderful. I'm not just telling you, you know, like a yellow smiling face and have a nice day. Hey, Jesus is on the throne. No, he's going, this life is killing me. This life brings me to the end of myself. It causes me to just hang on for dear life. And it's not dark yet, but it's getting there. This is hard. This is difficult. My life looks more like Good Friday than Easter Sunday. But he said, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, I can look at my life and go, this is killing me. But thank God, when it does, then I will rise from the dead just like Jesus did. Knowing that Jesus conquered death gave Paul the opportunity and the inspiration and the strength to be able to say, I will endure this because I already know how the story ends. So I hang on now to the fact that this isn't going to hurt forever. This isn't going to just continue unabated. If it gets really bad, it'll kill me. And then I start life over in heaven with him. There are so many caricatures of the Christian life. Sadly, I think a lot of times when we talk to people who aren't even Christians, we give them the idea that, oh man, life was really tough. And then I came to Jesus. And everything was fixed. I couldn't believe it. Everything that I ever wanted, it just happened. It was so great. I met the nicest people. I became more successful. I just have joy, joy all the time. It's like, woohoo! It's the victorious Christian life because that sells. If you told people the truth, probably a lot less of them would come to Christ. If you're like sharing with somebody and going, hey, I got to tell you, my life is just as miserable as yours when it comes to what happens to us. And the truth is, sometimes I even wonder if God is there. But you can join me in this. Don't you want to become a part of this? So as a result, like a salesman who pretends like their product always works, we just go, no, it is. Life is just such a joy. What happens? Christianity is composed of most people who pretend like life isn't what life is. People who just go, hey, so glorious on this wonderful Easter morning, forgetting the way you really feel inside, forgetting the kind of week that you actually had, forgetting the fact that, man, every day there are more people that I talk to who are just in misery. So what happens is we get this fake version of Christianity. And I talk to people almost every day who think that because life is miserable and hard, they think there must be something wrong with them. They think, I must be a bad Christian. I mean, over and over again, people tell me, I'm struggling with depression, or I'm having this issue, or I have an addiction, or I, you know, can't get along with people, or I lost my job. And they go, I just don't even know if I'm saved. And I always tell people, you know that you're saved. You're a Christian, because people who aren't Christians don't care if they're Christians or not. You know, it's only when you go, ooh, I want to be saved, but I don't know if I am. But we have sold a bill of goods sometimes to people, and we need to tell the truth. That's what Paul was doing here. He's like, look, I believe in the resurrection, but that's what helps me to deal with the misery of this life, the pain, the suffering, the horror, everything that doesn't go the way I want it to go. Yeah, it's the resurrection that lets me know that I have a future. My future isn't going to be that way. It's such a horrible thing when we represent Jesus in a fake way, when we make promises, when we write checks that we can't cash on what we tell people being a Christian is like. The truth is, life is this way. There are two kinds of people. People who will be honest about the pain of life, and people who are fooling themselves and others about the pain of life. And life has a way of turning you from one into the other, where you're finally like, okay, that's it. A friend of mine years ago told me, when you meet somebody who's just constantly bubbly and sweet always, they never seem to have a bad day, he said, watch that person. Because inside, there's such bottled up hostility, and it'll come out. And I've seen it happen over and over again to people who, oh, their talk is all the blessy-bless, God-talking sweetness. And then one day, boom, and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? We live in a Good Friday world, and we need to accept that. We need to stop thinking that we're doing something wrong if life hurts, or if it disappoints us, or if people don't seem to appreciate us, or if we start feeling like we're sinking. We have a lot of company. Every other person in this world who's honest will say, yep, I know what that feels like. I mean, I guess in some ways, and there might be some people who just seem honestly like they've never experienced any pain in life at all. I kind of feel sorry for those kind of people because I don't even think the resurrection is going to be a big deal to them. It'll be like, okay, life is over, and oh yeah, heaven's just like earth. For most of us, if we're honest, we look at what Paul says and we go, oh man, that is what I sometimes experience in life. It really does feel sometimes more like death than life, but the resurrection only comes after the crucifixion. You cannot just be ejected where, okay, now I don't know Jesus, now I do. And hey, maybe the only guy that ever experienced that fully was the thief on the cross, where he's like, man, I'm being nailed to the cross. And Jesus goes, you know, he looks to Jesus and Jesus says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And he's like, man, this hurts for a few minutes. And then I'm with Jesus and then I'm in heaven. So where do we get this myth of the victorious Christian life? And I know that if you listen to motivational Christian speakers, you get the idea that life should always feel like victory. You know, there was that old song, oh, victory in Jesus. You know, I mean, and I'm not knocking Christian motivational speakers. There are times when I'm like, after I listen to people's problems all day, it helps me to throw on a little Joel Osteen for a few minutes, you know, just to like, oh, there we go. That's kind of my version of three glasses of wine at the end of the day, you know, because I don't like wine. But what does victory look like? Well, Paul explained this in 1 Corinthians 15 when he's talking about resurrection. And he says this, 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, for resurrection to happen, you need to get out of this body and this experience, get into another one. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, when you die, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you can have victory, but guess what? It's not going to come until you die. Now, you might go, I was really hoping that when I turn 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, or, you know, you're like, oh, now I'm going to try to live to be 118 so I can beat that lady that just died. No, I don't care how long you live. I don't care how much you accomplish. I don't care what else happens in your life. The truth is, you don't win until you die. And then you are risen from the dead. You get a new life, and it will ultimately make it all worthwhile. People aren't going to, you know, people aren't in heaven going, oh man, remember, you know, when the Dodgers lost in the pennant last year, you know, or remember when this happened or that happened, or oh, I'll never forget that broken arm I got. That was, now, once you rise, once Easter happens for you, the pain is gone. But the key to all of that is understanding Easter. It was in the past for Jesus, and it's real. I would not be a Christian if I didn't believe that Jesus Christ literally brought himself back from the dead after 3 days. I totally believe that. It's not just a wonderful picture or an image. He really rose from the dead. But all that does for me ultimately is I don't have to worry about dying. I can embrace that because I know that my Easter will come. I know that I too can rise from the dead because he did. And that's what Paul was saying in that passage. It's like, you know, I am getting just destroyed, but I know that like Jesus rose, I will one day. It's going to happen to me. And you might go, well, how can that happen? How does that actually work? How can you endure? I feel like giving up. Well, over in Hebrews chapter 12, in Hebrews 11, there's this list of all these heroes that ended life more or less victoriously by faith. And then in Hebrews 12, Paul opens the chapter by saying, so since you've seen such a great cloud of witnesses, let's just get rid of all the junk that's slowing us down and let's run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, even though he despised the shame, and now he has sat down on the majesty on high. Jesus is our model. While he was suffering, while he was in agony, while he's nailed to a cross, feeling like the Father had just left him, my God, why have you forsaken me? He hung in there because of the joy that was set before him. And this is such an important key for us to learn. Don't think that if life hurts, you must be doing something wrong. Don't think that because you struggle, that maybe you're not a very good Christian. Here's how it works. You have people who are Christians, and you know, maybe they pick up bad habits. Maybe they had their bad habits long before. So they're living kind of self-destructive behavior. A lot of their patterns of how they do life came from things that have happened to them, or you know, addictions that they've picked up. And now they come to Jesus and they feel like, man, I'm such a bad Christian because I'm still struggling. Well, if you struggled long enough, maybe you will conquer those addictions. Well, congratulations. Then you usually pick up a worse addiction, that addiction of pride that makes you point your finger at everybody who hasn't conquered the sins that you think you conquered. Hey, it is death. That's what life looks like. This is until we recognize that we are called to take up our cross, deny ourselves, follow Jesus. Until we accept that, we're just going to be mystified. As it is, I'm never surprised when something bad happens to me or to somebody else. I never wake up in the morning and go, whoa, I feel really crummy today. I wonder what's wrong. I bind you, Satan. No, it's called life. It's called the cross. It's called this is the way humanity is. But I can look at Easter. I can look at Jesus' resurrection and understand, yep, it's Friday, and it's a long Friday, but if I believe in Jesus Christ, Sunday is coming. And so what happens here, I just realize, that's life. But I look forward to eternal life because Jesus promised me that if I believe in him, that I will live with him forever. Now, just a word to some of you who have never accepted Jesus Christ, maybe, if you're here, you're listening. I'm not saying that a Christian's life is worse than a non-Christian's life. The truth is, whether you believe in Jesus or not, it's Friday. Your life is going to hurt. You are going to be in pain. You're going to be confused, sometimes depressed, miserable. If you're not depressed, everybody around you will be, which will depress you. You know, and that's just life, okay? So the real question is there a Sunday for you? Today it's Friday for all of us. But Sunday is only coming for people who will accept Jesus Christ. Trust him. It's free. He doesn't need anything from you. Come on. You don't ask something from a dead person. But you have an opportunity to respond and to receive forgiveness of sins. To just say, this is the best offer that I have. All the other stuff that I'm trusting in, whether it's my things or my friends and family or my political party or my whatever it is, it can't bring you back from the dead. It can only contribute to your misery. So for all of us, it's Friday. The question is Sunday coming for you? And for me. And that's a question that every one of us has to answer for ourselves. Because God won't force you to Easter. He will not just, you know, cram those, you know, blessings down your throat and go, you need. No. All he did to win you over was he died for you. He suffered and bled for you. He allowed his body to be broken, his blood to be shed for you. And that was his final word. And then he rose and says, because I live, you can live also. But you have to receive him. He just doesn't force himself on anyone. If you've never given your life to Jesus, there would be no day more ironic than Easter. The day when we celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead and conquered death, that you can conquer your death today by getting right with God. And I pray that you'll do that if you haven't done it. There's no good reason in the world. It's not going to fix all your problems, but it will put an end to your problems eventually. It will give you an example. It will give you a hope, the knowledge that it isn't always going to hurt. You have every right to reject Jesus if you just want it to hurt forever. But if you want to have hope, it comes in the fact that he loves you, he died for you, he rose again, and he says, you can live forever. You can live past Friday. It's Friday for all of us, but Sunday is only coming for those who trust him, put their faith in him. If that's you, you really should do that today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for rising from the dead, showing us that the greatest enemy that we have has been conquered. Go with us as we try to negotiate life the best we can, as sometimes we just feel, I don't know how much more I can take. I'm getting to the end of my rope. I'm hanging on by a thread. Make that thread your promise of resurrection for all of us. That Easter that lies in our future, when we will rise together with you. We thank you for that. And for people who haven't chosen yet to respond to your promise, to take you up on the best deal that's ever been offered, that free forgiveness, Lord, you can relieve them of their burden of guilt. And I pray that they will just know that would be worth doing. I haven't heard a better offer yet. So please do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.